It makes me think of the Green Day song or My Chemical when I was a young boy. Because that's what you said in the first time. Okay, go ahead.
When I was a young boy, I had a best friend named Ryan. And Ryan lived down the street from me. We went to different schools. I went to private school. He didn't. His parents and grandparents were Catholic. And we didn't believe the same things. But anyway, we were best friends. And he lived with his grandparents and his mom. And so I would go there on Saturday and we'd hang out all day. And in the morning, I would see his grandma have a small lump of dough in a bowl on the counter. And later it would become huge throughout the day. And we'd, be skating at schools because it was the weekend. So schools were closed. And then we'd come in for lunch, come in for a snack. And throughout the day, I would just see this lump get bigger and bigger. And I didn't know it was because of yeast and leaven and stuff like that. I just, thought it was like magic or something. And later before breakfast or before dinner, she would put the dough in the oven and it would turn all golden brown and it would be so good. I'd loved having dinner at their house. And my mom made lots of really good things. She was a baker, but she didn't make homemade bread. And there's something about store-bought bread that is so different and tastes nothing like homemade bread. Mm-hmm. It's very good. And as I was getting ready for this text and the parable of the leaven, thinking about bread, thinking about dough, hearing about Jewish practices that I'm going to share with you, that these listeners of Jesus would have known, because Jesus is highlighting a Galilean housewife. He's not talking about Jewish bakeries. He's talking about what every Jewish boy would have seen, and that is their mom make bread. And he's highlighting it because of, in the Bible, leaven is very closely connected to and often mostly connected to, if not every time, to influence. And what was fascinating about me looking back in my childhood is Ryan's house was the first place that I got introduced to porn, to rap music, I think it was the first time I ever saw like a Barbie with no accessories on. And so that place was a place of influence for me. Well, at the same time, I was being highly influenced by church. I was a church kid. I was a PK, preacher's kid, pastor's kid. And so I was always at church being influenced by my dad's preaching, by Vacation Bible School. And so as I would come into Ryan's house throughout the day and see that bread rise, there was also influence rising up in me as a young boy. And so today we're going to talk about the need for positive influence of the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about the problem that we find with being influenced by God versus being influenced by the world. And then stick around to the end. We're going to discover how Jesus is the greatest influencer of all time, beyond what we can imagine, and how he is the solution to being permanently influenced by God forevermore. And so if you really want to experience deep change in your life through the power of God, stick around to the end. It's going to be really good. And with that said, give us the intro.
Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast. Today, Alex will be sharing about the parable of the leaven. I'll read the scripture first and he'll share a sermon. Then we'll come back together for a question and answer time. We're in Matthew chapter 13, looking at just verse 33. So Matthew 13, 33 in the ESV version. Let's go ahead and read. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.
This verse is packed and I can't unpack all of it. There's a huge part of this that I took out and I'm going to make it my bonus episode on my other podcast, Alex Wilson Podcast. And then there's another big part that I took out even more. And I don't know where I'm going to put that. Probably not even going to be able to get into it, this year, maybe next year. But as we look at verse 33, we know he's talking to the crowd. He's talking to the disciples. We know the crowds really don't understand what he's saying, but they pick up some pieces of it. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is going throughout the crowd and he's working his power into revealing what Jesus is really saying. But Jesus is working in partnership with the Holy Spirit, in partnership with the Father, according to the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Father. And so all this is happening all at once, and he tells a story, a parable, of something that they would have known and see like in their commonplace of their life all the time. Now, The first part, the need for the positive influence of the kingdom of God. We just read it. The kingdom of God is like leaven. So there's something about leaven that Jesus wants us to understand. And throughout commentaries, throughout, you know, 20 years, 30 years of church, I've always heard leaven talked about in a negative connotation. And that's because leaven is always pointing to influence. And often it points to being aware of the influence of evil in our life. And so here's a couple examples of that. At Exodus 12, 15, at the same time, while you're turning there, just know that it can also mean positive influence. That's exactly what Jesus is meaning when he brings up leaven in this parable. People interpret this to mean Jesus is talking about the evil will influence the kingdom of God, and it'll rise up in the kingdom of God. And I can see what they're trying to say, but this parable is meant to parallel the parable from the last episode, the parable right before it, which is the parable of the mustard seed, which is why they're often grouped together in your Bibles and commentaries, because the positive influence and the positive outcome of this little mustard seed that grows into this giant shrub that becomes a tree is very similar to what Jesus is saying here with the positive influence of this leaven that goes into this three measures of flour and becomes this huge lump of dough feeding what commentators would say up to 100 people. And it was actually not uncommon that a Galilean housewife would make this much bread, you know, for her entire household. So this is something that they would have seen all the time. But Exodus 12, verse 15 is talking about God's instructions to the people of Israel as they are about to leave Egypt. God has done all the plagues. He's freeing them from Pharaoh, answering their prayers, and he's instituting something called the Passover meal. This is something that they would have celebrated exactly, if not very closely to these instructions every single year. It was like it was bigger than Christmas. It was a big deal for them. And in the instructions, Jesus says in Exodus 12, 15, that 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. This is why context is so important. What is he talking about? Is he saying leaven is evil? Absolutely not. This is why you have to be in a church where where the pastor is preaching contextually and exegetically the word of God. Otherwise, you can construe all types of messages from the word of God that is not being said by God. What Jesus is instituting here is not, they are never supposed to eat leaven. We're going to see that as we look at Leviticus 23, 19. You can actually turn there right now. Leviticus 23, 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So Leviticus 23, 19. 17? Oh, I'm sorry, 17. Yeah, Leviticus 23, 17. As you're going there, Jesus is telling them, hey, I don't want you guys to be influenced by Egypt anymore. Leaven represented influence. I want you to make crackers, unleavened cakes, unleavened bread, and eat that for 7 days and take all of the leaven out of your house. Mm-hmm. Now, practically, the yeast and the leaven that they got and that they had in their house before this Passover meal was instituted was yeast and leaven from where? From Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so leaven is simply, it's a living organism that feeds on the sugar of the flour and causes the bread to become bigger and porous, and carbon dioxide gets in and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it causes bread to just be tasty. It's very similar. This parable is very similar to the parable of the salt, how salt enriches the food. Leaven enriches the flour, enriches the dough. The leaven that they would have had in their homes was leaven from Egypt. And Jesus was saying, as a picture of your disconnecting from sin, of course, but also from the bondage and the influence of Egyptian paganism. Mm-hmm. As a symbol of that, I want you to take all the leaven out of your house. We're going to get a clean swipe. Now, Is that to say all leaven is bad? And this parable is to be interpreted as a negative influence in the kingdom of God? Of course not, because look at Leviticus 23:17. This is where God says to them, "You shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread to be waved, made of two lengths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with what? Leaven, as first fruits to who? The Lord." So he's saying, you can eat bread with leaven. You can eat bread that is big and puffy and tastes good. They would have ate leavened bread all the time as Jewish people. The only time that they would take a break from that was maybe if they were in a hurry, maybe if they had no leaven, and if they were celebrating Passover. Because that Passover meal was meant for them to remember what? When they were freed from bondage. Now, that who is freed from the influence of sin? Jesus. He's the only person that's free from the influence of sin. That's why he's called the bread of life. He has, so at Passover now, at communion now, when we take it, we remember who? Jesus, whose body was broken. Uninfluenced from sin. Unleavened. Now, that's, we know why we need the positive influence of the kingdom. Because Jesus is telling us the kingdom of God is like leaven that was took in, that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour. So he's saying the positive influence of the kingdom is going to infect the entire world. It's going to permeate the entire world. The disciples hearing this, they were getting encouragement and hope from this because Jesus was telling them, listen, I know it seems like you guys are just a little tiny, small lump of leavened dough. And why that's important is because leavened dough is probably what Jesus is meaning in this parable. They would take a little bit of dough that was already leavened, dough that already had yeast or some kind of leavening agent in it, and they would save it. So it was probably dough from the previous day, and they would save it, and they would use that piece of leavened dough and put it into flour, and it would permeate the rest of that flour and turn into another huge loaf of bread. And then they would take a little bit of that leavened dough and take that out and help permeate the next batch on the next day. So he's saying the disciples are like that. You guys are starting right now with me, the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to put you into the world. Matthew 28:19, go out into all the world. He was saying that to the disciples. And in Acts, he says to them, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in all the world. He was going to put them into the world. And look at where we are now. Christianity is the greatest religion, the biggest religion. Hospitals were started by Christians. Schools started by Christians. Orphanages started by Christians. In the first 300 years AD, 6 to 8 million Christians in Rome became the number one religion in Rome, the official religion in Rome. How? Fishermen, people on the bottom, poor people with no social media, with no money, no campaigns, no protesting, just living communally and loving and living with the power of the gospel. That is what the kingdom of God can do. So to help you understand this a little bit more and why we need the positive influence of the kingdom in our life, Jewish rabbis would often use leaven as a positive illustration. One Jewish rabbi said that peace is unto the world as leaven is to the dough. Another amazing Jewish practice that I want you to never forget is the mother of the bride at her wedding day would give her daughter a piece of leavened dough from her own bread that she made that day. And that daughter would take that piece of leavened dough and she would from that make her own bread. It was symbolic that the home that the bride grew up in, full of love, full of memories, full of truth. Now that mother, now that she's married, now that she's going to start a family of her own, she would take that influence from where she grew up and feed her family, serve her family with that same influence. What an amazing Jewish practice that I don't want you to get, because we're going to come back to it, because there's going to be a callback to that same practice as we look at the solution. But before we look at the solution, let's look at the problem that we find with the influence of God in our life. The problem that we find with all influence in our life. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. He's telling us a very important principle here. He's saying, just like the kingdom of God is going to be put inside of the world, again, because we are not of this world, but we are in the world. He's left us in the world to do what? To influence it to the glory of God. To do what that mother of the bride was doing to the mother, giving her her influence to put into her home so that her home could be risen with love and truth and grace and the influence of the kingdom. That is what he's doing to us. So it tells us what? Influence comes from where? The inside. Mm-hmm. This goes for positive and negative influence. Here's an example of 2 negative influences that come from the inside. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 5:6. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 5:6. We already have an example of how good influence comes from the inside from this parable. The kingdom of God is like leaven that a woman took and hid inside of 3 measures of flour. We already know that the kingdom of heaven is a positive influence that is inside of the world. So we have that, but here's Luke, just to help you understand how influence comes from the inside, Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together for they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So Jesus is now they're getting famous. Now they're getting followed by thousands of people everywhere. The disciples are like, wow, this is awesome. This is cool. Like we're not just fishermen anymore. We're not just tax collectors. We're not just nobodies. Now we're somebody. We're with the Messiah. And we see the change. Jesus says to them, before we get any further, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Again, he's making a connection to influence. He's saying, don't be influenced to do ministry the way that you've always seen others do ministry. The heroes of ministry, the heroes, their spiritual heroes or spiritual leaders in their life at the time would have been the big, pompous, important pastors of the day, which were Pharisees, and they were hypocritical. Jesus constantly called that out. What they talked like, who they portrayed themselves to be in front of spiritual people, in front of churchy people, is not who they were behind closed doors. Jesus was constantly calling that out. And he's saying to the apostles, don't be like that. Beware of that puffing up your life. Because what puffs up a religious person's life is hypocrisy. It's the fact that their words and their heart don't match up. So he's saying, beware of that. Influence. Now, another time where he said it has to come from the inside. If you allow the fame and the way that people make you feel when they give you attention in the church, if you allow that to get inside here and get twisted, get perverted, it's going to become hypocrisy in your life. It's going to show itself from the inside out. And that's why in the next verse in Luke 12:2, he says, nothing. What is it? Can you read it?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I have it. Luke 12, 2.
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't going to include this, but I thought, you know, might as well include it. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. He's saying the influence of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, that is like leaven that's going to go inside the flour and it's going to be known. Once it rises, once the bread rises, there is leaven, a leavening agent inside of that dough. He's saying nothing will be hidden that's not going to be revealed. Mm-hmm. And so if you are doing life as a Christian and you've been influenced by religion, then it's going to show itself later in your life. Yeah. through hypocrisy. It's going to show that you're not who you say you are or not who you've tried to portray yourself to be, because the change, the person that you've been influenced by is Satan. It's not by Jesus. When you've been influenced by Jesus, you'll see it on the inside and the outside, but it starts on the inside. So that's an example of being, how do you say, influenced by religion and by spirituality. Here's an example of what it looks like to be influenced by the world. Can you read that for us? 1 Corinthians?
Sure.
5:6.
Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed.
Very good. So what Paul is telling to the Corinthian church is there's a guy in your church who's sleeping with his mother-in-law. This is unheard of. You're not getting this from the church. You're not getting this from religion. You're not getting this from spirituality. Mm-hmm. You're getting this from where?
The world.
Corinthians was a very worldly church. He's saying, get it out of here. Call it out. Make it known. Tell everybody what's going on and get that out of the church. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He's saying, he's talking about influence. Yes, of course, what the guy's doing is evil. But what he's talking about is he's talking about the influence of evil on the church and how if we allow it, that influence to keep moving around in the church and not call it out, it's got to go. Mm. We've even seen this in little moments at our little Sunday gathering called House Church. There's little things that have happened that we've had to be like, okay, we can't do that anymore. That's us being influenced by the world and not by the kingdom of God. And it happens so quickly. It happens so subtly. And that's why Paul's making it a point to call it out and saying, don't go any further. Get it out. We have to have the same urgency in our life because influence comes from the inside. And so where you see yourself being influenced by the world or being influenced by Christianity, you got to get it out. In my own life, I just saw like I was being influenced by Christian internet. Like what it means to be a Christian influencer and the fame that came with that. Mm-hmm. And I saw the path that I was going on and I did not like the path I was going on. And so I took myself out of it. I was like, I can't do this anymore because this is some kind of weird religion, spirituality where we just talk about ourselves online and we're getting famous and then we're buying cool clothes. And it's just, it was weird. And I'm like, I can't be influenced by this. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I had let sin linger in my life for way too long. The influence of music, the influence of media, the influence of thought processes, the way that I thought, how I did when I back in the world. And I was letting those influences just grow inside of me. And I was seeing it come out in the way that I treated my kids and the way that I treated my wife. And so I had to realize, okay, there's influence in the world inside of me that I got to take it out. Now that's easier said than done. Where did I get the power to do that? Let's get it into the solution. The solution is in the part, it's the shortest word in this, the second shortest word in this whole verse, and that is in. In. The solution is in the word in. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who took and hid in 3 measures of flour. Okay, took and hid.
Good.
The word took means received. The word hid means mingled with. So our problem is that we receive the influence of the world and we mingle it into our world. We mingle it into our life. I'm sorry. We receive the influence of the world, how the world thinks about pride, money, our bodies, our appearances, our successes, what people think about us. We take that influence, we receive it, and we mingle it into our life and it makes itself known from the inside out in the way that we dress, in the way that we talk, in the way that we spend our time, the way we spend our money. What we don't do is we don't receive the influence of the kingdom of God and mingle that into our life. This is why you do not see experiencing God. It's why you don't see change in your life. This is why you're lackadaisical and lukewarm with your sin because you have not received the kingdom of God's influence in your life and then mingled it into the rest of your life. If you do so, you would know direction. You would know what God wants you to do. You would know purpose. You would know power. You would know how to stop doing certain sins, how to stop talking the way that you talk. You'd know how to live through the fruits of the Spirit, how to have self-control, to operate in the spiritual world, to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You would be able to do that if you had received the kingdom of God's influence and mingled it into your life. And in that little word, in, he tells us the solution. The solution is it's got to happen in the heart. What has to happen is we have to go to the heart and mingle the received influence of God in the heart, like the woman does with the leavened dough in the three measures of flour. So Romans 16:25. What is it about the influence of the kingdom of God that we need to mingle into our life, to receive and to mingle into our life? Romans 16:25. I haven't read Romans in a while. If you don't know that Romans has 16 chapters, then it's time to read Romans again. Here we go. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. What is Paul saying? This is the last three verses of Romans, and he's saying that I pray that God strengthens you through what? The preaching of Jesus Christ that has been made known that through the prophets, but it was concealed. Like how? Like this word hid, which also means concealed. It also means mingled with. The leaven dough was concealed in the three measures of flour. Jesus was concealed throughout the Old Testament through the prophetic writings and now has been revealed at the incarnation. At the baptism of Jesus, when he's baptizing, the heavens open up and God says, this is my son. This is my son who I am well pleased. It's been revealed. How? Jesus is the tree of life. Jesus is Joseph's coat of many colors. Jesus is the greater David, the greater Moses. Jesus is the promised seed of Abraham. That's all been revealed when Jesus came to earth. And so he's saying, I want you to be strengthened through that. This is what you have to receive and take into your heart and let it change you. Now, let's look at John 19:26. Let's go over there to John 19:26. This is where it all comes together. We're going to call back to our remembrance what we talked about with the Jewish woman getting married. Now, while you're going there, I want you to see how Jesus was set aside to be concealed so the influence of eternal life to us could be revealed. Let me say that again. Jesus was set aside to be concealed. The Father set aside Jesus to be the one to be concealed. Throughout the Old Testament, through the stories of the Old Testament, he is the answer. They all point to Jesus. All the prophetic writings, all the parts of the law, they all point to Jesus. He was set aside to be concealed so the influence of eternal life to us could be revealed.
Wow.
The leavened dough has to go in the flour in order for it to influence the flour from the inside out, to make it bread, to make it enjoyable, to make it joyful to eat. Jesus did the same thing. He was set aside, concealed in the writings, just like leaven was in the flour. And yet it all blossomed and grew and rose into something that you and I for eternally will eat of, called the bread of life. Can't make this stuff up. This is crazy. Jesus, the bread of life, died to take our punishment for being influenced by sin and rose because he was filled with the influence of the Father. So John chapter 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. What does this mean? This means that Jesus took the punishment for us being influenced by sin. We're the ones that are influenced by the world, by Satan, by our evil father before we're reincarnated, before we're regenerated.
Yeah.
Sorry. Before we meet the Father, Our Father is Satan. We're on his side. We look like him. We act like him. Yeah. And Jesus took that punishment for us being influenced by Satan, by sin. And yet, because he was innocent, he rose. Why? Because as the bread of life, just like bread is filled with leaven, Jesus is filled with a different influence, the influence of the Father, 100%. And so he rose just like bread rises. This is crazy. Now, we still need to get to the heart. Like, we know these things. You know, we need to be reminded of them. We know Jesus is what this parable is pointing to. But we need to still get to the heart. We got to take who Jesus is and get it in our heart that we might be influenced, that we might change, that we may rise. So John 19:26 gets to that. Once you see this, this is how I was able to just really get this message into my heart. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go for it.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son."
So what's happening here? This is one of Jesus' seven last sayings before he dies. We know that there's no other disciples there, just John. Mm-hmm. And there's also, and not John, we're not talking about John the Baptist. We're talking about mm-hmm. John the disciple. Mm-hmm. He's at the foot of the cross with Mary. Mary is Jesus' mom. Jesus says to Mary, "Mary, you know, mom, this is going to be your son now. John's going to be your son." What is going on here? The groom's mom, Jesus is our groom. He's our spouse. We are the church, the bride of Christ. What's happening here when Jesus gives Mary a new son? Jesus is being cut off from Mary. So he's saying, "Woman, behold your son." And then in verse 27, "Son, behold your mother." The groom's mom, Mary, gives the bread of life, which is dough uninfluenced by sin, but filled with life, to the bride to continue to serve the world in love. So the Jewish practice was that the bride's mom would give her a piece of leavened dough to make bread for the rest of her family, and then take a piece from that and then make more bread. And this is continual chain of her home being filled with the aroma from the bread, but also filled with the love, and their tummies being filled with love and with service. Who is our mom? Eve. And our mother, Eve, was influenced by who? Satan. Her influence has influenced us. Mm. And so in John 19:26, what's happening? Mary, which is our groom's mom, it should be our mom giving us the dough to continue. But that dough is influenced with the wrong type of yeast, the wrong type of leaven, influenced by sin. So what happens is the groom's mom, Jesus's mom, has to give us the bread of life, which is Jesus. This is Jesus being cut off, being separated from his mom and saying, "Mom, now you're going to have a new son because you're giving me, you've given me away." To who? The church. Hmm. She was being, Mary's son was being taken from her so God could give him to us. And now we have that bread of life. He says, "He who eats of me will never be hungry again," because it's the gift that keeps on giving. We just, we have him, the bread of life, and now we can eat of it ourselves, and we can make more service unto God to serve the world. And it just keeps on going and going and going. And that is what he's talking about when he's revealing this hope. In Matthew 13:33, he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leaven. And we see it all throughout the birth story of Jesus. Mary had to literally hide Jesus because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And for 30 years, he was concealed. He was hidden. No one even knew who this guy was and why he was so important. They obviously saw that he was different. Even when we see that he's 12 years old, he's speaking and preaching in the synagogue. But it wasn't really revealed who he was until he was 30 years old. Concealed, took, and hid, and then revealed to the world. And we are a part of that. The disciples who were hearing this for the first time are a part of that, were a part of that. And what they did is still going. They continue to take the life that Jesus gave them in the kingdom of God, and they pass it on for hundreds of years, and it got passed on for even hundreds more years. And now we're here today, podcast exists, and we're still passing it on from person to person to person. And you're a part of that. And so I want you to look at in your life, where do you see God's influence? Because the more you chew on the fact that Jesus is the bread of life given to you, so you can be filled with life, not just life for you to sit around and do nothing, but life that keeps on giving to others. Once you see that you were given this gift and entrusted with it, that's the beauty of that illustration with that practice, is this mom was saying to her daughter, you're going to be a great mom. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a great homemaker. You're going to do great things in your kid's life. You're going to do great things in your spouse's life, in your world. And don't you see, God has entrusted you with the bread of life. He's saying that I'm giving you my son, and now I know you're going to do great things. I know it seems, what you seem like where you're at right now is just small and unimportant, like that leaven to dough is, but your influence that you've been filled with and the influence that you're going to leave in this world is going to be great. And you're a part of that. And Jesus is saying, I love you enough to give myself completely over to the kingdom of God that you're a part of. Isn't that what the leaven does? It gives itself completely up. Every particle of the leaven touches every part of that dough. It gives up everything to be mingled with the rest. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. He gives up everything to be mingled with you and I, and every single part of us has 100% of Jesus and his spirit living inside of us. So what are we going to do with that? This means you got to refuse to be influenced by the world and start being influenced by the kingdom of God. This means he's given you the power to do that. Yeah. We were talking about earlier this week, how there's psychoanalysts, and I'll end with this. There's psychoanalysts that have been talking about how school traumatizes girls and feminizes boys, and how we're not made to sit at a desk all day. We're not made to live performance-based lives. It's traumatizing. And for young boys, it's feminizing. And so what happens? We find a lot of young people your age who's listening to this right now don't know what to do with life because they haven't been influenced by the kingdom of God to know what it means to be a man. Girls have been scared out of their mind because they've been told they have to perform or else people won't love them or they won't get the grade. And so they have to be influenced by what it means to be feminine, what it means to be a woman of God. And that all happens in the kingdom of God. So regardless if you went to the most traumatizing Matilda-like school, there is still regeneration. There is still promise for new life. Because the more you spend time in these small practices of spending time with God, being influenced by the kingdom, the more it's going to change you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. The more you'll turn into a man with direction, with leadership abilities to know how to lead the people around you, how to be like Christ. And then as a woman, you'll know what it means to be nurturing, but to be strong, to be like Esther, to be like Ruth, to be like Mary, to be courageous, to be willing to give up everything. Give up your life in order that somebody else might have life. Mm. You'll know how to live that way, the more you'll be influenced by the kingdom. And that's why he says the kingdom of God will stand right in the gates of hell, and it won't be defeated by the gates of hell because of this influence that can't be overtaken. Amen. So I want you to think about where do you see God's influence in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this message. We pray as we look at this question and that we answer it honestly, that we'd be transformed by it. And we thank you so much for just the beauty of the gospel and these parables that reveal more and more to us. In your name we pray.
Amen. Yeah, Alex's question for us is, where do you see God's influence in your life? And I'll answer first, as always, and then we'd love to hear your responses in the comments, or you can answer on Spotify. And so for me, it is in my home. Like, I feel like my answers are so similar every week, but it's just, that's the life, the season that I'm in. That's my, what I guess my priority and focus is, the home right now. And I see it, of course, I've seen God's influence, how he's influenced me through his word to care for the home, to prioritize the home, and to love the home, to love the mundane, to not see the mundane as mundane, but to see it as an opportunity of joy to serve. That's how, like, God is influencing my life. And now how that looks practically is living it out, right? In my home, just taking an idea, taking, you know, that influence that he's given me and applying it, right? And so I definitely see it in my boys and how they act and some of their mannerisms. But when you have a daughter, I'm a woman, men and women are different. You see it a lot more, and it's encouraging and it's good. And, I love that I get to do that. And I think I've shared this before, but I just, you know, we hear in like Christianity, like, make sure you're pouring into someone, make sure you're pouring into someone. Of course, men should be pouring into men or boys, and women should be pouring into girls or other women. And it's like, I always try to find opportunities for discipleship, but it just felt like it wasn't working. As a young mom, once we got married, we got pregnant very quickly. So, that was my life. And, once I had Lucy, I finally was like freed from that and like, okay, this is who I need to disciple first. And this is my largest sphere of influence, and seeing just little things in her personality and her character, even at 2 years old, is just truly beautiful. But a lot of the ways that I've influenced her are things that have come naturally to me, things that are natural about my personality or that God has changed within my life and transformed years ago. And that's what I'm seeing. And so I continue to need influence of the kingdom, the influence of God's word in my life, so I can continue to prepare her for womanhood, for motherhood one day, if the Lord allows that. And I just think from that, like, then I will be able to influence on a broader spectrum. And I've noticed the times when I'm faithful in the home, faithful at getting in his word so I can really be filled and fill my family. Then I'm more effective. Say I'm going to get coffee with a girl, or I'm talking to a girl at house church, or running into someone at the supermarket. Like, it feels like, okay, I know that the Lord was in these conversations. I know that the Lord was using me to encourage this person. But when I'm not being faithful at home, it's not influencing the outside of the home either. And so it's just the importance of, I guess, remaining faithful, you know, and where he is influencing you first. And I just think, yeah, we just have to be so careful these days. And you touched on this a little bit, because we have like this, you know, influencer culture, and the biggest influencers on the internet are mom influencers. And it can be so easy. And it's so interesting that you brought up that statistic about school. It can be so easy to like perform on the internet, but is that really translating into the home? And those decisions and that will like impact your family later, you know, it will influence your children later. And so there's just an importance. Doesn't mean that it can't be done. Of course not. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we just really have to be careful whether we're the one making content for the world or we're consuming it. Because it will impact.
What was that lady's name that did that research?
Oh, Erica Commissar.
Erica Commissar. Commissar?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys check it out, because that's who did the research of talk that we're talking about with the school traumatizing
girls. Public school.
Yeah, public school traumatizing girls and then feminizing boys. So keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So because I want to pass this influence on to my children, I think it's just so important that we're growing and remaining faithful in the home so that we can have a broader influence in the world and she can have a broader influence one day. That's the reason we have children, is to pass on the faith so that they can help their peers. Because a lot of people say, like, why would you bring so many kids into an evil world? And it's like, because to save the world, you know, to bring forth the gospel, to be, salt and light on this earth, because evil will exist until he makes all things new.
Yeah, and your kids are your influence. Mm-hmm. Like when, if you're a young mom or you want to have kids and you're like, well, I don't know how I'm going to balance influencing others for the kingdom of God and influencing my kids. Your kids are your influence in the world. You know, like Lokelani and I are both here because of the influence that our parents have put into us. And now we're giving that to the world. And so I think Satan wants to mimic everything that God does. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the greatest influencer to ever live. There's no single person that's had more influence than Jesus. And so what does Satan come up with in 2010? Mm-hmm. We can call it. That's when I think Instagram came out or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Influencers. Now he's going to make huge, famous influencers to go out and influence the world with evil, you know, and we never had this before.
Yeah.
You know, we've had celebrities in commercials, like Shaq used to do Sprite commercials and it made me want to drink Sprite. But before the rise of social media, we didn't have quote unquote influencers, and it's all a plan of the devil.
Yeah.
To, cause he's the prince of the power of the air, to get millions and millions of influencers to influence people in the way of the world instead of the way of the kingdom. But Jesus is still the number one greatest influencer of all time.
Yes.
Of all time. And we can still receive and mingle, take and hide his words, his truth in our heart and watch it transform us from the inside out like the leaven does to the dough. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like if you're a young mom, influence your kids. And that's how you guys can pray for us, because, and that's one thing we think about a lot, like with pastors and ministries that we follow and or had followed in the past, it's hard for us to, you know, just see important pastors, important ministries, the kids of those ministries or the kids of those pastors stray away and choose the world and choose the demonic over Christ. And so it makes you think, what is the influence of that pastor really like inside of his home? Because Paul tells Timothy, a pastor should, you know, have his house in order. How can he have the church in order if he doesn't have his house in order? So that's how you guys can pray for us, because we don't want to fall victim to that.
Yes.
You know, and that's why we've made the decisions to like delete TikTok with our over a million followers and delete our personal Instagrams with hundreds of thousands of followers. That's why we did that, because we didn't want to bring that influence into our world, into our life, into our home. And so continue to pray for us in that way, because we want our influence to last.
Yes.
Long after we're gone. And while our kids are still on this earth, we want them to still be following God and having kids of their own and influencing their kids with the kingdom of God while we're gone. And so how you can pray for Alex and Lokelani is just that. God, don't allow Alex and Lokelani to be influenced by the world and allow their influence in their own home to be effective.
Yes.
And that's our prayer for you guys. That's why we do this. That's why we do this, so that your homes would be influenced with love, whether you have kids or not, or you want to have kids. Chances are, if you listen to this podcast, you want to have kids, because we talk about kids so much.
We can't not.
Yeah. And we know it's God's plan that people trust Jesus.
Yes.
It's God's plan to make disciples and be fruitful, to be multiply. All that exists inside of the family. And I believe the family is one of God's greatest conduits to bringing change into the world. And so we love you guys. Thanks for supporting us and keeping us going. And if you'd like to do that even more, amenpodcast.com.
Yes, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. So all of this is made possible through your generous donations. So you can click the link in the bio or visit amenpodcast.com/donate. That we appreciate it so much and just helps us continue with these sermon episodes. If you can't financially contribute, that's totally fine. Liking this video and subscribing to our YouTube channel is also a great way to help us out. And we love, love, love reading your wonderful ratings and reviews. So that's another way to really help us. We like reading the feedback that we get on there. It really helps us know how to serve you better in these episodes. And so thank you guys so much. This is like the highlight of our week. And we just love being able to do this. And so,
yep, this is a long episode, but you know, just a little update on us. We have baby Liv coming, our sixth child or our seventh child, but we lost one around the COVID time. So
miscarriage,
they're up with heaven.
Miscarriage.
Yeah. Miscarriage. Yeah. We didn't lose them on island somewhere, but they're with the Lord and Liv is coming soon. And everything you see, we do together as a family. Like I don't have an editor. I don't have a producer or director. You probably could tell because our content's very simple, but the audio, the visual, everything is just done by me. And then the producing side and the planning and everything is by Lokilani, and the kids help out here and there. And we also preach the same message that you just heard. We're going to preach it tonight. If you're listening,
you preach it, not we.
Yeah, I preach it tonight. If you're listening to this on Sunday at House Church, where, you know, anywhere between 60 to 100 people come to our house. And in our garage, we have dinner and we have a worship service, and it's amazing. It's so much fun. Yes. And that is all paid for by you guys, by supporting us. And so how you can pray for us is we have a lot of things going on in our life right now. Like the truck broke down, and the truck is usually where we film outside episodes because it's small. It can get in little spaces. And so if you guys miss those outdoor episodes, the truck is being fixed, but it's costing us a lot of money. So you could donate by helping us there. We also want to, you know, expand our studio and do greater things with House Church because we're kind of busting at the seams with House Church. And so we have building plans and we want to keep it House Church. And so our vision and our plan is we want to buy this property. And so when you donate, it goes to that, which later goes to building, you know, more resources for House Church and for the podcast as well. So your money is going to a great place. We never tell you that kind of stuff. So we just wanted to you know, since this episode's already long, might as well throw it in there. Anyway, love you. And I'll see you over on the bonus episode where we're going to dive into this parable in a completely contextual, but also different way. And so check that out.
And until next time, go out and be the church.
Amen.